Going to be in Malachi chapter 1. We went over counsel on children and some of that teaching there, counsel on chastisement. And then I want to show you some word counsel on charity, which is a love that gives. Now, one thing that you have nowadays is this teaching out of Malachi on the tithe, and you got to get this thing here right. So I want you to see where it's coming out of. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse number 1. What we do is we get a book and we get the address on the front of the book. All right, it says this, the burden of the word of the Lord to the church. Uh-oh, did I mess up? To Israel by Malachi. The address on the book says it's addressed to Israel. So the mail here is addressed to Israel. Or is the church Israel? We're not. The church is not Israel. Israel's not the church. Israel is Israel and the church is the church. So when you come in the book of Malachi here, and we can get a spiritual application from this, and I can see a future application. There's a lot of future stuff that's here. There's a lot of prophecy in Malachi. But at the same time, this book is addressed to Israel. Israel was under the law. This is before the cross. Now, having said that, now that we've got the address on the front of the book, who it's to, who it's doctrinally to, let's go over here and look at our teaching here. All right, so I'm standing up in the pulpit, and I'm about to preach you a sermon, and I'm going to put some chains on you here. Are you ready? All right, turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now watch here, here it comes. Ye are cursed with a curse. See that? It says, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now watch what he said. Bring ye all the tithes, all, and say some. See, this is what you've got to get here. He says, Malachi 3, verse number 10 now. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. Now you turn in, give a seed offering of $1,000, and I tell you what, God's going to bless you abundantly. And if you, oh mercy, and on and on and on we go. Y'all, we ought to give. Brother, we're going to get anything in return or not?
That's right.
We ought to be able to give if we know. Let me tell you this: how you keep some friends. If you loan somebody $1,000, you loan it to them not expecting anything in return. If they pay it back, great. Because I can tell you something: in my little short lifespan, I've loaned people money and I've never seen that money again. But if I held it against them, but guess what? I'd be mad at some folks. You know whose fault it was? It's not their fault. It was my fault for actually putting that on them. They were in a hard time whenever they got it. They wouldn't ask if they weren't in a hard time anyway. And I gave it. I said, now you pay me back. Just pay me back whenever. Okay, well, if you meant what you said, whenever, there's no time limit on that thing. Y'all, sometimes people get in a hard shape and they may never pay you back. And then they start not getting around you or anything like that because they're so scared you're mad at them. And then they won't call you. And then that one little thing hurts one thing. Yeah, I'll tell you something, we can get ourselves in a mess. Just say, hey, you take it. And if you ever want to pay it back, fine. But if you don't worry about it. That's why, because we need to give them under free will. That's the Lord gave you salvation.
Exactly.
Gave it to you. You know what? He wants you to give him free will service. Now, this right here is under the law. So here's the confusion. I want to read a verse to you. We won't turn there, but I want to read it to you and let you sink it in, and you can go home and read it. But the verse is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Pauline epistle. Paul tells them, he says this. Now, listen to this verse. He said, there's going to be people, he's talking about these teachers, and he said, desiring to be teachers of the law. We're in the law here. But here's the problem. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You know what he's saying? He said, y'all, you got to be watching it. He told Timothy, he said, watch out. There's going to be people come in and they're going to teach the law, but they don't understand it enough to teach it. You ever been around somebody who they want to teach something? And good folks, you know, but they don't know enough to teach. You know, they get up there, and but before long, they've got it so muddy, you really don't know. Y'all, you know what I've learned? I read this guy, old J.C. Ryle. He had a study on holiness, and you know what he said? If you don't understand a text, don't preach from it. Stay simple. And that has helped me so much. He said, don't preach. Look, just stay right down there where all the little lambs can get it. The old giraffe may have to stoop over to get it, but he'll get it. The thing is just stick to what we know and let the Lord grow us and go a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Well, see, he's saying they're going to be trying to teach the law. You know what the problem is? These people are getting up in the pulpit and they've went to school. Nothing wrong with education as long as it's godly education. But you know what the problem is? A lot of them go to school and they get taught on how to administrate and they don't learn the Bible. They get taught in psychology and philosophy and they get taught of how to run a place without getting in the Word of God. And guess what happens? They put chains on people that don't belong on them. Now, I'm going to show you some things about this tithe here. Nobody tithes. Nobody. I'm going to show you this. Now, turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy. We're going to get the Christian way to give. Deuteronomy, there's a difference in how a Christian gives and then how a Jew gave under the law. I'm going to tell you this. These guys that get up there and they say, I tell you what, you're cursed with a curse. And if you don't tithe, I tell you what, God's going to burn your house down. And I've heard them say, you know, your car broke. I tell you what, God, I've heard them say this right here. Man, it scares you to death. God's going to get his tithe. Whoa, he's going to get it one way or the other. I've had that put down on me so many times. Let me tell you this. God don't have to have your money.
That's exactly
he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the taters under the hills. He owns the hills. Yeah. You know what he does? He gives us an opportunity to get in on what he's doing. You know what he says? It's like he's pulling out rags out of his pocket and says, you know what? I can use this one right here, but if you don't want to be used, I'll pull another one out and use another fella. The thing is, he can use anybody in this room. Don't you ever let anybody tell you God can't use you. Well, you done so-and-so and you done... Read the people who he used in the Bible, please. God can use... You know what gets me about God? I love the Lord because not just because I've been saved, but because I like how he uses base things. You can't choose who God's going to use and who God's not going to use. You know what he'll do? He'll take Apostle Paul, who was a murderer and everything else, and clean that guy up and use that guy. You know why? Because you can't choose the team.
That's
you
right.
Can't choose God's team. He chooses who he wants to use.
That's right.
And whoever's going to yield to him. Now, Deuteronomy 14, I want to show you this right here. Here's the tithe. Man, a lot of these, I tithe every Sunday. No, you don't. No, you don't. Why? It never specifies money. You know what this American mentality, all American, I'm saying that because I don't live in another country. I just know where I live at. They may be like this too. All everybody thinks about is money, money, money. Let me tell you this right here. Everything's not about money. You can give other things other than money.
That's right.
You can give money. That's good. But y'all, we can give ourselves. We can give our love. We can give a listening ear. We can give our prayers. Y'all, everything's not geared on that. In the Old Testament law, look what they did. Here's verse 22. Man, I tell you, this is rough, man. Thou shalt truly tithe all. He says, bring all thy tithes over Malachi. Tithe all the increase of thy seed. All right, well, you better give everything. You got some groceries and things like that in your house? Well, their seed, what did their seed? That brought their crops in and things, okay? All right, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name thereto. Now watch this. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil. All right, so if we got anything we're going to use for Lord's Supper out there, we got some grape juice out there we're going to use, guess what? We better get that and give tenth of that. We better give, it says, and the firstlings of thy herds and thy flock. Anybody got any animals? You better make sure you give that. You see this? It says that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. There's your tithe right there. Everything has to do with tithe and everything. Y'all, the Bible says they tithe mint and cumin. Out of their garden. They tithe even the stuff out of their gardens. Everything. So what is this? This is under the law. He said they were cursed with a curse because they didn't tithe right. Now, with us, what do we do? All right, with us, we've got a different thing. That's like, for instance, Deuteronomy 5. It said, under the law, you're not even supposed to wear mixed garments. It talks about bringing your gift to the altar and things like that. We don't do those things. We're not under the law. So what does he do? Look at this biblical giving. And it even has application in the Old Testament. I've showed you this before, but look over in 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to look at it a little closer this time and see that they even had something similar to what we have even in the Old Testament. And it was different from that required under the law. Now this is what they'll do. A lot of them, they'll say, especially if I'm dealing with this, I know some preachers know how I teach on this, and they'll, I don't agree with you on that, Brother Chase. And I'll say, well, how come? Of course. And he'll say, well, Abraham tithed, and he wasn't under the law. Okay, words that say he was commanded. It never says Abraham was commanded to give Melchizedek a tithe. He wasn't. He gave it of his own free will. Why? Because Abraham's a type of us before the law. You see? So guess what? It matches us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now here's the thing. This is why I know if you do like this, you'll have a reward in heaven. Not grudgingly. Y'all, you got a lot of these folks. They pinch their pennies so tight that they got a permanent weave in Abraham's beard and in his hair too. It's just that's not grudgingly, man. That's right. Some of them don't want to wear rubber shoes for fear they'll give. Why? Because what's happening? They're just holding on, y'all. Man, everything we've got here on this side right here is going to crumble and go.
That's right.
We've got to get to the place, he's saying, not grudgingly. When you give, it's not out of compulsion because some man has scared you to death and think you're cursed with a curse. Y'all, that's not us. God is saying, I've blessed you. Now, let me tell you, I'll say this. Let me tell you what the person who you can tell what their true motive is, see what they do with their privilege. You know how you can tell with a kid where his attitude is? All right, if he's sitting in there and you say, look, if you do this, I'm going to spank your hind end. And you're sitting there watching. Well, of course, he's scared to death. Well, guess what? Then walk out of the room and see if he does it whenever you don't have any stipulation on it. And then you'll see what's going on in here. That's how the Lord is with us. You know what it is? The Lord says, okay, I saved you. My Holy Spirit, I've already put an earnest Holy Spirit in there. That's the earnest money, down payment down in here. But you got free will, and let me see what you'll do. Why? Because you got something else on the other side. This earth is not all. He's wanting to see what you'll do with just the free will he gave you, the privilege. He says, not grudgingly or of necessity. You see that right there? You know why I'm telling y'all this? That's like, for instance, we're going to have one of the first missionaries I've spoke to, talked to him a little bit about coming in September the 1st. And you know what? I know this right here. If God wants somebody to be in the ministry where God guides, God provides. I believe if God wants somebody in a place, God will provide for them to be in there. But let me tell you this, if they're not supposed to be in the missionary place, it's of our best interest that they get starved out and go do something else. Why? Because if you get these people and say, well, you better give to them. I tell you, I don't see a man right with God wouldn't give to so-and-so. Well, you don't know what the person's got in their pocket. You don't know what kind of bills they got going. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You can't say that because you don't know what's going on in their private life. Y'all, we don't know what's going on in one another's private life.
That's right.
That's why we can't say, well, so-and-so didn't give all day. That's why I don't look at none of that stuff. Why? Because I want my sermons to be able to come straight out, and I don't know what's going on behind the scene. Why? Because this here's what happened. Sometimes people can have hard situations going on, and they've been sitting in the pews, and the preacher said, you're not right with God. He don't know. But the thing is about the missionaries is this. If somebody's right with God, and that's like this church here, if it's of God, guess what happened? The Lord will provide. People of their free will give like it's supposed to be getting, and it'll keep going.
Amen.
But y'all, any place that's not of God, you don't want the place to go anyway. I know that may be hard to hear, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of these places that are going and people are putting them in chains, they're going and going, and all, they're dead as a doornail, but they're still going full steam ahead. Why? Because they're put under chains and the thing is just dead and it's hurting people as it's going. But you know what? If we're here because we want to be here and we want to give because we love God. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay. How you know you're going to have God's blessing? He said He loves a cheerful giver. It's more blessed to give than receive. Well, y'all, if we want God's blessings, we will give in a cheerful way because we love the Lord, and God's blessings will naturally flow. It's not because I'm giving because I'm afraid a lightning bolt's going to come down on me. That's what you've got to say about this giving thing here. You get to get in on God's blessing by giving. And I tell you this, as I've gotten older, I found out this. That's like with now that I've got kids. Kids help people a lot. Because I like to give to them to see a smile on their face and things like that. You get to where you like to help people just simply because you like to see the joy that they get from getting something from you. And y'all, what happens is that's the thing. You ought to want to help somebody because you want to help them. Not because you feel just, I better do that because so-and-so's going to think this or so-and-so's going to think that. That's not the right motive. The giving here is out of your heart. So let me show you this thing in the Old Testament. Turn to 2 Kings 12. They had a special thing that matched us in this right here that was different from the tithe. Now, these verses I'm going to show you, if you ever want to witness to a Calvinist, these are some of the verses that I use to witness to a Calvinist because they do not believe in free will. A true Calvinist doesn't anyway. And But somebody says, well, why do you believe against that? I'll tell you why, because I believe the Bible, and I believe Bible words in the Bible, and free will is all in the Bible, but guess what you'll never see? That's Ezra. We'll turn to 2 Kings. I'll just go ahead and have that up there. 2 Kings chapter 12. What happened to that 2? That's weird. All right, 2 Kings chapter number 12. And I want to show you this. So they had something here that was outside or set to the side of, beside that tithe. Watch this right here. Joash is repairing up these high places. He was actually a good king because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So he's building back up the things of God. And so 2 Kings 12 verse 4, and Joash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, Even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at. Now watch this. And all the money that cometh into any man's heart. See that? To bring into the house of the Lord. The money that cometh into his heart. Now you know what that is? The Old Testament called that a free will offering. Mm-hmm. So now turn to Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So Ezra chapter 2, won't you see this free will offering? This thing is all in the Old Testament. As far as that, this is the side that we get right here. Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2. And this is something here called a free will offering. This matches us. This matches us. And I'm going to cross-reference so you don't have to turn back and forth because we're going to go to Exodus. But I'm going to give you one of the cross-references to this Ezra in just a moment. But I don't hear any pages turning, so I'm going to give you this Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2, verse number 68 for some context. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set up in his place. See, they're resetting the house of God up. All this stuff is not set in place, so they're having to set it up, and they offered freely. Now watch verse 69. They gave after their ability. After their ability. Unto the treasure of the work, 60,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priest garments. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. I looked that up in one of my reference Bibles. That is just an obscene amount of stuff because they offered freely. Now, you know what that matches? All right, it says of their ability. You know what your Bible tells you? You can mark this, and we're going to go to Exodus. But this right here is what it says. There was a church in 2 Corinthians here, and he's talking to these churches of Macedonia. And this, listen, this is such a blessing. Verse 2 says, how then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, watch this, abounded under the riches of their liberality. They had poverty. Now, I'm cross-referencing this, show you about the ability thing. They gave, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They were willing. Watch what he says about it. He says, verse 5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know why their giving was so good? They had given their self to God. And as you give yourself to God, God will put it on your heart. You ever had sometimes, nobody threw a figure out on something, and you ever had something sometime and it just kind of put on your heart what to give? And somebody will say, I've had this happen before. I've had somebody say, you don't know, but that was the exact amount that we were needing. Y'all, God is able, if you will give yourself to the Lord. It's not, that's what I'm telling you, it's not a set amount. I gave my 10%. God may give you, it may be, you may have made $600 that week, and he say, look, the so-and-so's needing 150 of that. Or so-and-so needing 80 of that. What I'm saying, it's not a fixed amount where you can say, well, I gave my 10%, and that's it. It's not like that. Y'all, we're saved by grace through faith. We got heaven to look forward to, and God may offer, he may ask more of us or less of us, but as long as we're giving ourselves to him, we will know he'll put it on your heart. And I know y'all have had times in your life where he's put it on your heart. Now, watch this. It says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he began, so he would also finish in you the same grace. And he's saying, man, y'all had grace all over the place. Now listen to this, verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. What I'm trying to show you is this, as far as giving, when you get in close fellowship with the Lord, your will start matching up with his will. What he wants will start beginning to be what you want. You will want what he wants. And once that will is lined up, he can get your giving right, as far as whether it may be prayers, it may be, I need to just go over here and listen to somebody. I need to go visit so-and-so. I need to go. And guess what? It'll be the right kind of giving, not just monetarily giving. It'll be the right giving under a willing heart. Now listen to this. This is how he does it, though. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind. You got to have a willing mind. It is accepted. Now, this matches Ezra. According to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. They said they gave their ability. You know what he's saying? I will accept you on what you have. If somebody's making $300 a week, I'm not going to ask for them to give $400 on something. He said, I'm coming up to a person on what they have, not according to what they have not. So whenever you get to God one of these days, he's not going to require out of you 10 talents when he only gave you one talent. The man who had one talent was reckoned, and he was asked about that one talent. The man who had 10 talents was asked about that 10 talents. What did he do with that? He didn't say, what did you do with 20 talents, or what did you do with less? Well, what he gave you. What God is saying, I know what everybody's able to give, and that's between me and them, and what they give is between us, and I'm going to reckon with them on what they have, not on what they have not. Y'all, some people, they'll put in a plate, and they may have gave $2, and they gave more than some of these people gave $200 or $300. See, y'all, it's not with God. God sees the heart, and God sees what we're able to give, because he knows what we're able and what we're not able to do. That's why we have to be real careful. And that goes back to that thing about trying to judge people's heart. We see somebody sometime, they may not put nothing in place. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't. Now, I tell you, you got some of these folks, they say, well, you may know you're a redneck whenever you make change in the offering plate. You have to be. Some people do that kind of thing, you know. But see, you got, that's charity right there. Now, here's the last thing. And I want to go over the other thing too. Look at Exodus 35. Y'all, I'm telling you, I don't know what happens to the time. It's stolen. Because I wanted to give you this thing on this confession. I guess we'll do it next time. Exodus chapter number 35, and we're going to do 35 and 36 a little bit. Talking about giving. They were getting all these things ready, and everything wasn't started up yet. So you got all these free will offerings here. So guess what kind of hearts got the work going? Exodus 35, look at verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. See there? A willing heart. Now, watch what other kind of heart there was in Exodus 35, verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Y'all, I don't see how somebody could read that Bible and not see that people have free will. Do you see that? Willing. Look at verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings. I heard a guy one time, he said, these women, they wearing these earrings, I don't know what thing. Well, I said, what about over in the Bible where they had all those earrings and those women wear earrings and stuff? What about that? Well, I don't know. That's Bible days. I said, man, I don't know what you do. I just don't know how far. But it's amazing how far people will go. But look what all they brought. And rings and tablets and all jewels of gold. And every man offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Look here at verse number 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. You see, it's a willing heart. That's what God's wanting. They get this work done with a willing heart. All right, now watch the turnover, if you will, to chapter 36. Let me show you what a willing heart can do. That's why I'm telling y'all that these guys are missing out when they get up there and try to put people under the bondage of saying, well, 10%. Y'all, God is so far beyond that. He deserves so far more than 10%. It's unreal. It doesn't have to do with a number. It has to do with offering yourself. So when you offer yourself, God can tell you how much to give. Whether it's over or under, whatever. We want to have a willing heart so we're in line with Him. And whenever we give, He may say, you know what, I want you to spend. Why? Time is money. Why don't we say, I spent some time over at so-and-so? You can't even get time back. That's something precious. I went over there and spent an hour over at so-and-so's house. God may say, I'll keep your money in your pocket. I need you to go down there and spend some time over here. I may need you to go over here and spend time doing this right here, right now. You see, of a willing heart. Why? I want you to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't want you to limit yourself to just one thing. Y'all, there's all kind of ways to serve God. Look what all can get done. Look at Exodus 36, verse number 5. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more, look at this, than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Why? For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. You know what we need? We need people with willing hearts, because the work would get done. You know what? That's just like any church. This church is like anybody else. You know what happened? Most churches have about 30% of the people doing most of the work. Well, you know what? If everybody would chip in and do all the work like they'd have, y'all, you'd have too much. What I'm telling you is we need to pray that people will have willing hearts. Not that they got a chain on them. I've got to do so-and-so. That's one more thing I've got to do. That's not the right attitude. It's I thank God that I'm able to do so-and-so. And I want to do more if the Lord enables me to do more. If He trusts me with more, I want to do more. It's not about I've got to do this. The more I get to do, the better. And that's the thing, why people need to be willing. And y'all, that's one thing with this generation we're seeing now. We're seeing a generation now that literally does not have a willing heart to want to do things. And that's why you don't see things like this. It should be over in abundance. Y'all, you think about this. If every person who called themselves a Christian told one person a week.
That's right.
One person a week about the Lord Jesus Christ. I forget the numbers. I think Peter Stoner did the numbers, and I should have brought it. But y'all, the whole world will be evangelized in a year. If everybody on their path, if you just on your, and you told somebody, if you look at the dots and they've got the thing on the computer where you can look at the dot, and these people right here say that this amount of Christians is here, if they told one person a week about the Lord, you'd have the whole world, you'd have the gospel around the whole world. It's amazing. You know what? You've got so few people doing the work, actually out there doing the work. Because what's going on? It's a heart problem. Mm-hmm. Heart problem. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. That's the whole thing. So you know what we need? We need to pray that people get willing hearts. And as far as us, if we don't have a willing heart, God, help my heart to be willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. And that's like I said, it's not always one thing that we focus on. It's God, whatever you want me to do. I know that you've given me ability to do something. So Lord, help me do the right thing with the ability you've given me so I can be a blessing to somebody else. Y'all, we've got a generation. I know I talk about this a lot, but I see it. We got a generation of people. Everybody wants, how much can I get? What can I get? What can I get? What are you going to give me? What am I going to get out of this? I don't get nothing out of going to church. I tell you why you don't get nothing out of going to church, because you're supposed to go to give. You go to be a blessing.
That's right.
And guess what? If you go to be a blessing, you'll get a blessing.
That's right,
Y'all, that's the crux of the matter to me. A lot of people got the whole wrong attitude about church. We're supposed to come to give our worship to the Lord and to be an encouragement to somebody else. And people don't realize, when you try to be an encouragement to somebody else, it starts giving you joy. You just start, man, that's a blessing right there. That's a blessing to be able to put a smile on somebody else's face. Y'all, I tell you, it's amazing just what a good morning, how you doing will do.
Yeah.
I tell you, right, y'all, that just the little things go so far.
Yes,
that's like at work. I've got some people, some of them are just so nice. One lady, she never fails. When I see her, whenever I see her, she's going to say, good morning, how you doing this morning? That just starts the whole day off, instead of just walking by growling at you, how you doing? I wonder what's wrong with them. You see, one thing can just mess a whole day. Y'all, we can brighten somebody else's day up just by having a smile on your face. And I tell you, I think a lot of times we miss out on just being a blessing to somebody else. Just because our heart, a lot of times, is we won't have a fixed something. And a lot of people just fix on it. If I do this, I won't have to worry about nothing else. It's not like that with God. He's not wanting you just to write one thing off and say, well, I've got that done for the week. It's not like that. The Lord may want us to pray this week. He may want us to go visit this next week.
Right.
He may want you to bring a devotion the next week. He may want you to just sit and listen. Somebody may want you. I'm telling you, don't fix it on one thing.
That's right.
It's, Lord, I want to have a willing heart, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
That's
what we want right there.
Yeah.
We'll close out. Father, Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. And Lord,